Colossians 2, and we're going to come to an absolutely incredible verse. We dealt with verse 14. Anybody need a handout, just lift your hand up if we missed you, okay, if you need a handout. But look at verse 14. Blotting out, this is what happened on the cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know, before I approach this tonight, I'd like for us to have a word of prayer. Would you join me, please, in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we teach tonight, I really need you. I know that Satan absolutely hates what we're going to share tonight because it's such an embarrassment to him. Father, I pray tonight that everyone will really endeavor to listen and not let anything distract them. We know Satan would love to distract us from this tonight, but may we really understand and grasp what we're going to share here tonight. I pray every person here will right now seek to be filled with the Spirit and to listen intently to what your word has to say. Lord, we need you, and we cannot do this without you. I totally rely upon the sufficiency of Christ and who I am in Christ, and I know that it's got to be your resurrection power. It cannot be me. So I just pray, and I yield to you now, and I pray that you'll help me to be able to make clear what you did on that cross, Jesus. I love you, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to immediately go to your handout for the first statement because it'll lay the groundwork. It says that when this verse talks about Christ spoiling principalities and powers, it is speaking of Christ's victory over Satan and his demonic host. Look at it again. It says, and having spoiled, verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers. Now, when you spoil somebody, we think of spoil as, oh, that meat in the refrigerator, it's spoiled. But that's not the idea of the word. The word spoil here, it's an old English word here that's used, that when you've heard of the spoils of victory. That's the idea of the word, is when you spoil somebody, you take what's theirs away from them. In fact, if you look it up in Webster's, it means to seize by force. So when the Bible says that Christ spoiled principalities and powers, that's a reference to the demonic host of Satan, the principalities. Remember the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He said we're wrestling against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities and powers, that's speaking of the government, a system of Satan and the angels that followed him in his rebellion. And the Bible says that Christ spoiled principalities and powers. He spoiled them. That means that he took the weaponry of Satan. Christ took it away from him. He stripped him of what he had. He spoiled him. Now, Satan, I need more, Mark, okay? I don't know where I'm at. Make sure my gain is where it needs to be also. Satan thought that he was winning the victory that day when he instigated the mob to take away Christ, to take Christ, to crucify him. Satan thought he was winning. But folks, listen to me. When he instigated the mob to crucify Jesus Christ, Satan was simply playing right into the hands of God Almighty. You know, last night, I was playing laser tag with my boys. And boy, is that fun. I love it. Don't you love it, Denise? No, she doesn't like it. She don't even like us to play when she's home, you know. But boy, when you leave, we have a time, let me tell you. But we were playing laser tag, and I had this ingenious strategy that right at the beginning of the game that I was gonna run over to where Clayton was and get in this middle room, and then I was going to surprise attack him and get him, you know. And so when we said go, I took off. Well, what I didn't know is he also took off and he hid. And so I went through this room not knowing that he's right here. And so I went through the room and I'm like this, looking into the room where I think he is, and I'm like this, and all of a sudden I hear boom, 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 boom. And I'm going, and there he was. And I was out of the game like that. Well, you know, that's kind of what happened on the cross. Satan thought, boy, I got him now. But the cross would be the very thing that would ensure Satan's defeat. You see, in your handout it says there was a hidden wisdom in the cross work of Christ that God didn't tell anybody. You see, God kept it a secret. There was a hidden wisdom in the cross that God didn't tell anybody. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Keep your bookmarker here and we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 2. And we've looked at this before. It's exciting and it's a really neat, neat verse here. Look with me at verses 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. There was a hidden wisdom in the cross, work of Christ. God didn't tell it. He kept it a secret. Now, you understand, there are veiled references in the Old Testament to what Christ would do. In the facts of the cross, the facts are there. But the full extent of what Christ would do, the full extent of what would be accomplished on the cross, the full extent of what would be made possible through the cross, in your handout there it says, God kept it a secret. God kept a secret all the wonderful accomplishments that happened on the cross that day. There was a hidden wisdom in the cross. It's so cool. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 7. Paul said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the what? Hidden wisdom. So Paul said, what we're telling you, he said, it was a mystery. It was kept secret. There was a hidden wisdom. Look what it says. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. See, God kept it a secret. For, and I believe their princes is referring to the princes within the demonic host there. Not princes on earth, but princes in the heavenly places of Satan's demonic host. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. So there was a hidden wisdom in the cross that had Satan known about it, he would have never instigated it, because the cross is what ensures his defeat. You see, how you say, well, how is that, Pastor Dan? Because Jesus Christ paid the ransom price for all of mankind on the cross, Jews and Gentiles alike. He paid the ransom price for everybody. He paid the price of our sin. In your handout, it says that in due time, God revealed the full extent of the cross work to Paul. Paul then made it known. Paul preached it. Paul proclaimed it. Paul wrote about it. Paul began to make it known. Look with me at 1 Timothy 2, 6 and 7 in your handout. The Bible says that Christ gave himself, okay, talking about the cross work here, he gave himself a ransom. Notice what Paul said. Not for Israel. Not just for a group of people. He gave it for who? He paid the ransom price for all. Notice, to be testified in what? Due time. Whereunto, okay, because he would be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained, a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now look up here. Satan was smart enough to know that God's law, the Old Testament law, formally in handwriting, put the seal of God's condemnation on mankind. The law demanded death, not only physical death, but a second death of the soul and spirit in hell. Satan, in your handout, it says Satan was the originator of sin and death and is said to have had the power of death. We're going to look at that verse here in a little bit. Satan is said to have had the power of death. Now, Satan is thinking, now picture this. Satan is thinking, if I can use my power of death to kill the Messiah, to kill Christ, then I will be assured of ultimate victory. Satan's thinking, look, if I can put Christ to death, I'm going to show him to be a sinner because the wages of sin is death. So if he dies, then he's proven to be a sinner and I will have won the victory. Little did he know that when Christ died on the cross, Christ would actually be willingly dying and willingly paying sin's payment for all of mankind on that cross that day. There was hidden wisdom there, see, that Satan didn't know anything about. In resurrection, 3 days later, Christ would defeat death. He would prove, listen, he would prove that he wasn't a sinner because he rose from the dead. He would prove that his death on that cross was not for his own sin, but it was for the sin of mankind. The resurrection, as you've heard me say, is receipt in hand that Christ made a full payment on that cross. The resurrection is the receipt that says, yep, he made a payment in full on the cross for the sins of all of mankind. Satan saw Christ die on the cross, and Satan is thinking, I won! I've won! But in your handout, it says, to Satan's chagrin, the cross changed everything. The cross changed everything. The entire landscape of history, the entire landscape of the future changed there at the cross. The cross took away the law, right? Go back to Colossians 2. All right, Colossians 2. 14, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. We saw last week, that's speaking of the law. Not just the ceremonial law, but the moral law. So he blotted it out. He was the embodiment of the law. He fulfilled the law, then he goes to the cross, and the law, Christ, is nailed to the cross. The Bible says that he blotted it out. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So now get this. On the cross, he takes the law out of the way, which is the law is what accuses us and condemns us. He pays the price for sin. He makes possible the reconciliation, not only of mankind, but we studied this back in Colossians 1. When Christ paid the payment for sin, that not only made possible the reconciliation of you and me, mankind, it also made possible the reconciliation of the whole governmental systems of heaven and earth that have been tainted by sin. He made possible the reconciliation of those governmental systems of heaven and earth to be reconciled under the headship and under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter 1. Remember when we studied this? We're back in verse number 20. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, by Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you. See, so not only can the entire governmental systems of heaven and earth be reconciled under his authority and lordship, but he says, and you, look at that, verse number 21, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Are y'all beginning to see how important the cross is tonight? Because a final, once for all sacrifice for sin was made. The heavens can be purged of sin. And when I say heavens, you understand, Satan has access to the first and second heavens. They've been completely polluted by sin and by his demonic host. So now the heavens can be reconciled. The earth can be reconciled under the authority of Jesus Christ. Sin has been paid for, and human beings, us, we can also be a part of this reconciliation process. Jesus Christ, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, the devil. Look at Hebrews 2:14 in your handout. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same." He took on flesh and blood. That through death. And you know, that's what we're celebrating at Christmas. He took on our flesh and blood there in Bethlehem. That through death. See, you can't die unless you take on flesh and blood. Only humans can die. So he takes flesh and blood on him. Not the nature of angels, Hebrews says. He took on us, our nature. He took on the humanity of you and I. He takes that on himself. Look, why? That through death. See, this is the only way. There had to be a sacrifice for sin made. The only way to do that, the wages of sin is what? Death. So he had to be able to die. So he takes on flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Christ spoiled Satan. He spoiled him. He stripped him of his power. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8 that Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Genesis 3:15 is that great prophetic promise where God said that a Redeemer would come and would crush the head of that old serpent, Satan. And on the cross, he crushed the head of that old serpent, the devil. By taking the law out of the way, no longer can Satan use the law to accuse us and condemn us. And then, that's good right there. He takes the law out of the way, so now the law cannot condemn Rich Costanza. He took it out of the way. But not only did he do that, also on the cross, he's making a full payment for Rich's sin. So now God can legally and justly take Rich Costanza, a sinner, justify him through faith in Christ's blood, and reconcile Rich eternally and make him part of the eternal plan and purpose of God. And it's all because of the cross work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Takes the law out of the way, and now he can legally and justly declare us righteous through Christ's work and through our faith in his blood. He made a full payment for sin. Hey, are you beginning to understand why Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ"? God forbid that I should glory. There's nothing good in me. Everything, anything good in me, man, it's because of the cross work of Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the cross is the focal point of human history. The resurrection was essential. But you know what? Really, the resurrection was a foregone conclusion. You know, it was a foregone conclusion. I mean, really, what was Christ called? Christ said, "I am the resurrection and what? The life." He was the very embodiment of life. He's the living word. He's the eternal one. And he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He is the resurrection and the life. Well, how's death going to hold down the resurrection and life? So really, the resurrection was a foregone conclusion. But now, wait a minute. To think that the resurrection and the life would die? Now, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty awesome. To think that you could take the resurrection, the one who is said to be the life, and die. Wow. It's no wonder he said, "No man can take my life from me. I have to lay it down of myself." Nobody could put to death the resurrection and the life. He had to willingly lay it down for you and I, because he's the resurrection. Like, you can't put the resurrection and life to death. He had to lay us down, and he did that. And in your handout, it says he made a complete and a satisfactory payment for the sins of the world. Satan instigated the very thing that would ensure his complete defeat. Satan thought he was extremely smart, but the cross showed him to be a fool. The cross showed Satan to be a fool. Go back to Colossians 2 and 15 again, and notice what it says here. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he stripped them, he took away what they had. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a, notice that word, he made a what? He made a show of them openly. Do you know what that means? That means that Christ held Satan up to public shame, ridicule, and humiliation. The cross is a complete embarrassment to Satan. Remember, Satan got all full of pride because of all the wisdom that he had there, the Bible says. And that's what led to his downfall, was his pride. And he was, of all the created creatures, remember when we studied this on Sunday night recently, and we were studying hell, and we looked at Satan and how that he was the wisest of God's created cherubim, and he got lifted up because of his beauty and because of his wisdom. And now here, you understand how humiliating this is to him, that now this one who prided himself in his wisdom, now he instigated the thing that would lead to his defeat. He instigated the thing that would literally make the payment for the sin of the universe and the earth and for people. He instigated the very thing that would ensure his complete defeat. And Satan thinks, man, I'm smart, I'm wise. And the cross just holds him up and shows how foolish he was and how that he didn't figure it out. God kept a secret from him and Satan didn't figure it out. And all of Satan's dreams and all of his goals and all of his aspirations were stripped away from him at the cross. Think about this. Through the cross work, Christ took care of your sin. Amen? Look back at chapter 1. What does it say in verse 14? The Bible says that in Christ we have redemption. How did I get redemption from my... How did I get it? Through His what? Blood. Through His blood, His cross work. Notice, what does that mean? Even the what? Forgiveness of sins. So the cross work took care of your sin. Can I get a good amen on that one? Amen. Aren't you glad for that? But wait a minute, it did more than that. It did more than that. Not only did it take care of your sin, and by the way, if you go over to chapter 2, look at the end of verse 13 there. What does the end of verse 13 say? Having forgiven you, what? All trespasses. But not only did it take care of your sin, the cross also took away the great condemner, which is the law. Look at verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So the cross work took care of your sin, and then it took care of the great condemner, the law. Then, wait a minute, the cross work not only took care of your sin, not only did it take care of the law, which condemns you, but the cross work also took away the great accuser and the great enemy, Satan, whose plan is to damn your soul and take your life. It took care of him too. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Man, if any of you preachers out there, are you teachers? If you ever want a great message, all you got to do is go to 13, 14, and 15, and there you go. The cross work took care of your sin. Verse 13, it took care of the law, verse 14, and it took care of Satan in verse 15. The cross stripped Satan of everything. The cross took his ammo away from him, rendered him powerless. And now the only power that Satan has is what people give him, because it was all stripped away at the cross. The only power Satan has is what you give him. He has been rendered powerless. and his days are numbered. You know, I mean, Satan can try to accuse you and threaten you and scare you and intimidate you, and Satan can come and hold a gun to your head, but folks, there are no bullets in it. He's like Barney Fife. There's no bullets in the gun. Okay? There's no bullets in the gun. So Satan has had the cross stripped him, see, of that. On the cross, Christ held him up. And you know what the cross did? The cross held up Satan, and it showed, you know what? Not only are you not real powerful, you're not real smart either. That's what the cross did to Satan. Now, let me ask you a question. You've just been listening to me for about 25 minutes talk about this. Do you guys, are you starting to see why Satan hates the message of the cross so much? Are you starting to figure out why you could probably go to and visit 25 churches on Sunday morning in this church randomly and probably never hear about the cross? This is why. He hates it. He loathes it. He despises it. And go over real quick, go over to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were at a funeral, and Denise and I were, well, we've been to a bunch of them recently, and I don't even remember which one it was, but we were at a funeral, and I wasn't doing it, but I was at one. And like I said, I've been to a ton of them recently, a lot more than I sure wish to go to. But I was at a funeral, and the preacher, I mean, he gave a good talk, but there was never any mention of the cross. You know, and I leaned over to my wife. That was so disappointing. And I leaned over to her and I said, "Boy, Satan hates the message of the cross." I said, "He hates it." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse number 3, Paul says, "But if our gospel be hid," and you say, what was his gospel? Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And then he turned around and he told you what the gospel is, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Paul said, "When I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You say, what's the gospel? The gospel is all about the cross and what was accomplished on the cross. And it was revealed to Paul, and in verse 3, he says, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," who is that? That's our enemy, that's Satan. "In whom the God of this world hath..." This is what Satan's doing today, folks. In case you wonder what he's up to today, this is what he's doing, and he's using any possible means he can to do it. This is what he's doing. He's seeking to what? "Blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ," the good news of Christ, what he did on that cross, that's the gospel of Christ is what he did on that cross, "who is the image of God, should shine unto them." In chapter 5 there, if you just flip over there, you can see here, verse 14, what Paul was all about, preaching. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one," what? "If one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which," what? "Died for them and rose again." Oh, my friend, Satan wants to blind people from the truth of the cross. He doesn't want people to know that a full payment's been made for your sin. He doesn't want people to know The law cannot condemn you. You don't have to keep a law system to be saved. You don't have to be on the treadmill of religious performance to be saved. You don't have to do any of that. The cross has already made the way. It's opened the door. It's by simple faith in what He's done that you are saved and forgiven of all your sins. And Satan doesn't want people to know that. He wants to blind them. In your handout, it says he seeks to blind people from its message. Jesus' cross work spoiled Satan and his host. It made a show of them openly. Paul said he triumphed over them in it. And that's why Satan wants to blind people. It's an embarrassment to him. Let me ask you something. Are there things in your past that are an embarrassment to you that you'd just rather us not all know about? Yeah. And are there maybe some stupid decisions you made in the past that you'd just rather us not know about? Well, there's a real stupid thing Satan did that he'd just rather nobody know about, and that's the cross. Had the princes of the world known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He was held up. The cross holds up Satan to public shame and ridicule and humiliation. It proves him really to be quite stupid. And he hates it. He hates it. And by the way, that's why Satan hates Paul. He hates the Apostle Paul and the message that God gave Paul. And that's why Satan wants to turn people away from understanding the mystery of Christ revealed to Paul. I am amazed at the ignorance that is out there in Christianity about Paul. And people want to run back to early Acts, and people want to run back to Peter. And what religion wants to run to Peter? And religion wants to run back to the day of Pentecost, and religion wants to run back to the kingdom gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's like they forgot there's a man named Paul that got saved, and he said that there was a gospel that Jesus Christ personally appeared to him from heaven and gave it to him, and he went out and preached it everywhere to the Gentiles. And it's like people forget all about that. Well, why? Because it's in Paul's gospel that we have the hidden wisdom of the cross unveiled. And Satan doesn't like that. So if he can turn people away from Paul, you know what he did? He just turned people away from the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel that's revealed in the cross. Because you're not going to get it without Paul. You know, I got a newsletter in the mail. And this newsletter was from a church here in town. And I'm not going to name the church. But on the front of the newsletter, it talked about how to get into Christ's kingdom. Oh, well, this will be interesting. And so I began to read it. In fact, Denise, the one that got it, she said, I think you might want to read this. She knows I like stuff like that. So I started reading it. And it was two pages. There's a whole bunch of stuff, all front page, all the back page. And I got done reading this whole article. And do you know what? You know what the conclusion of that article was? The conclusion of the article was that if I want to get in Christ's kingdom, I need to get baptized in water by them, and I need to confess the deity of Jesus Christ. And if I do that, I'm in the kingdom. And I read that whole article, and you know there was one thing missing in that article. Do you know what it was? The cross. You're writing to people to tell them how to get into Christ's kingdom, and you never mention or talk about the cross. Do y'all see where there is a satanic blinding? Do y'all see that? There is a satanic blinding from Paul's gospel. Even in Paul's own day, he said, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. There was a satanic Lee induced turning away from Paul that began even while Paul was alive. And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse over the course of church history. People are ignorant of Paul. I'm teaching a class next semester in the Bible Institute on the Apostle Paul. And it's an incredible class that you really, if you've never taken it, you ought to consider taking it, because it is very vital and it's very crucial that we understand Paul and his ministry. You wonder why I harp on that. This is why, folks. The gospel's at stake here. It's not just because I, you know, want to try to be different than somebody else, or, you know, because I don't have anything else to say. The reason why I harp on this and talk about it so much is because it's in the gospel that God, that Christ personally appeared from heaven and gave to Paul. Paul said, I didn't get it from man. I didn't get it from the apostles. I didn't get it from anybody. I got it directly from Jesus Christ. You see, the facts of the cross were already known, but the hidden wisdom of what was accomplished on the cross, he didn't make known till he saved Paul, and he revealed to Paul the wonderful spiritual accomplishments of what happened on that cross, how the law was taken out of the way, how that redemption for all of our sins, for all of the world, was paid for, how that now we can be forgiven of all sins apart from the law, how that now Satan has been triumphed over in the cross. All this is revealed to Paul, and then he goes out and starts proclaiming it. Folks, you say, why do you talk so much about Paul? Folks, because that's where you find the hidden wisdom of the cross revealed. That's why I harp on it. That's why I hammer this. It's because I love the cross and I love what it does. Folks, it's the cross that changes lives. If your life's been changed tonight, it's because you, by faith, humbled yourself and you put your faith in what Christ did for you on that cross. Amen. That's why your life's changed. It's not because you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. It's not because you kept a religious system of rules and requirements. It's not because you kept the golden rule of the Ten Commandments. Every one of us in here have failed. If you're saved and your life's been changed, it's because of the cross work of Jesus Christ. And that's what needs to be proclaimed. That's what needs to be talked about. That's what we need to constantly emphasize. And in your handout, it says, Paul's gospel is what reveals, he said, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3:9 and his cross work. It's Paul's gospel that unearths all the unsearchable riches of Christ for us. And as I said, you know, religion is ignorant of this. And they don't realize the hidden wisdom that's there in the cross. They don't know where to go into to the Word to get it, and they've turned from it. And it's sad. Satan is blinding the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. You say, boy, I got a family member that's lost, and they don't know the Lord. You say, where do I start? You know what? I'd start by explaining what Christ did on the cross for them. It's a good place to start. Start with the cross. Start explaining to them Jesus Christ, who He was, what He did, what He accomplished on the cross for them, and where would we be without it? Whew. Where would we be without the cross? I shudder at the thought of, I tell you one thing, if it wasn't for the cross, I wouldn't be up here talking to you tonight. There's no telling where I would be. And oh, how Satan loves it when religions run back to the kingdom gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oh, how he loves it when they run back to Peter on Pentecost. You know why he loves that? And that article I was telling you about that I got in the mail is all about Peter and all about the day of Pentecost. And you know, the kingdom gospel, Matthew, Mark. You know why Satan loves that so much? Because there's no message of the finished work of the cross there. You don't find anything about the hidden wisdom of the cross on the day of Pentecost. It hadn't been revealed yet. wasn't that Peter was being disobedient or that Peter was being rebellious. He was just preaching what he knew up to that point. And when he preached Christ as the victim, not the victor. See, Peter presents Christ on the cross as the victim. You took him, he tells Israel. You crucified him by wicked hands. You betrayed him. And he tells him, you need to repent of what you did putting him on that cross. Paul never presents it that way. Paul presents the cross with Christ as the victor. He triumphed on the cross. So, you know, Satan loves it when people go back to Pentecost, or they're going to go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me ask you something. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he calls 12 apostles. He sends them out to preach. Were they out there preaching the finished cross work of Jesus Christ? No. They didn't even understand it. When he finally began to make it known, go over to Luke 18. Let me show you something real quick, and we'll end with this. Look at Luke 18. I'm going to pick up, and we're going to finish this next week. But look at Luke 18. If we think they were out preaching the cross of what Christ was going to do on the cross, you say, well, they were preaching what he was going to do. We're preaching what he did. No. They had no understanding or comprehension of the cross. They're not out preaching that. That's not the message they're preaching. Look at Luke 18, verse 31. Now, this is way far along, folks, since he called them. So they've been at it for a while. And in Luke 18, 31, he says, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they went out and preached all these things. Is that what it says? No, what does verse 34 say? And they understood what? None of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. So after he dies on the cross, and after he dies there on the cross, there in the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's died on the cross. So after he dies, the 12 are going everywhere, rejoicing that a full payment for their sin had been made, right? No. They're hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And they are literally sorrowing because their Messiah has been killed. They're confused. They're sorrowing. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. They were devastated that Christ had died. Why? You say, why? The cross work is so precious to us. Why didn't they see it? Hadn't been revealed yet. There was a hit. Remember the hidden wisdom of the cross? Now you see why I harp on rightly dividing the Word of God. Amen? Amen. It's so important. You know, I mean, folks, it's crucial. Now next week I'm going to pick up here, and I'm going to actually give you some modern illustrations here, like the newsletter I told you about. Of this. And I want you to... How many of you remember the... You remember that movie that came out, The Passion of the Christ? Remember that? And you remember that was going to be the thing that would lead to the end time worldwide revival. That's what we were told. This is the thing that's going to bring end time revival. Did it? No, it. What's the name of the guy who did that? It lined old Mel's pockets, didn't it? It did. He made millions upon millions upon millions of dollars on that film. He made millions of dollars on that story. And it lined his pockets, I believe, more than any movie he'd ever done. But it didn't bring end time revival. Why? Well, there's a simple reason why. but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you think on it, because most of you saw the movie. And I want you to think about it and ask yourself, why didn't it? Why could lost people, and probably most of you know lost people that went and saw the movie, but they walked out still lost, and they're no closer to being saved. Why? Next week I'll tell you why. But I want you to think about it this week. Next week we're going to come back and we're going to continue this, and we're going to talk about the cross some more.